Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
To a new way, you'll leave this a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord, mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, mighty, mighty God. Mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Amen. We serve, we serve, we serve a wonderful, wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Storietta, for the start of the Lord's servant. Thank you. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, Brother Elvie Zapata. Thank you, Lord. Coming to your life from the highest mountain of North Carolina. Thank you, Lord. 2,000, close to 3,000 feet. I praise you, Lord, from the sea. Praise you, Jesus, where the first tsunami is not going to come up here. Maybe the second or third tsunami will come up here, but not the first tsunami. The first tsunami will be a little bit going through Florida over 1,000 feet. Okay, that's one of the judgments the Lord showed me that is to come. My brother and sister, let's get ready with the Lord. Let's stay in daily repentance, my brother and sister. Amen. And hope that we will not see the second or third tsunami coming to the U.S. and the world. Amen. That has not been forgotten, because the word Jesus said to me that he has spoken will not return back void, but it will be fulfilled. Everything in God's timing. My son is asking me, when, daddy, when? In God's timing. Only God knows when. We know we're living in the end time. Hallelujah. In the end of days before the return of Jesus. Hallelujah. We are trusting the Lord. Amen. The Lord's given me a wonderful revelation this week. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you are refreshed, is what I can recommend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Refresh your computer. Refresh your browser. If you seem not to have sound, I'm also going to put up the phone number. Remember, 646-564-9726 is the phone number to listen. Okay? It's to listen live. Hallelujah. In case you are having problem. Okay, you can call in through Skype. You can call it through your cell phone, your computer. Again, hallelujah. Remember that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The title of this message is through, though he was a son, though he was a son, yet learned obedient by the thing which he suffered. Amen. Obedient is what Jesus showed me this week. I never seen obedient before. But he showed it to me this week, and the blessing that God has in store for those that are obedient. Okay? In particular, he showed me my own life if we stay in obedience, the blessings are untold, are known to us. Okay? But we have greater example in the Bible, my brothers and sisters. Amen. So let's keep that in mind. Great example we have in the word of obedience, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Now, before, hallelujah, we go into the revelation of the Lord, we're seeing a lot of videos on YouTube in regard to magnetic me, my brother and sister. I just got a phone call a few minutes ago, which is, to me, I see it as a warning, because as this person was talking to me, it really caught me by surprise, because he's talking about, he was informed about another oil price hiking coming up. We know that we had in North Carolina, when we had the pipe problems, the hackers, oil prices went out of service here. And now the warning is to the whole nation, to the whole country. Something is coming up, he was told. Okay, something is coming up with oil. This is a warning. Something is coming to the U.S., and it might be to the world, about oil, my brother and sister. They're getting ready for what is coming. If oil goes to $8 or $9 an hour and even more, think about how you'll be able to move. So it's a really strong warning this person gave me on the phone. Okay? He said, forget about gas car. You got to have an electrical car, he says to me. Okay? And I said, wow. That caught me by surprise. I'm like, wow. Because that's where they're moving everything. The whole country is moving to electrical. And if they hike the oil prices where people have to go to electrical, then electrical car price it would triple, is what he said. Okay? So keep that in mind. Think about that. Forget about gas car, because they already have a plan for that. I heard about oil and like in Texas, they're planning to shut down the oil production. If that happens, oh man, this will really be a mess. Okay, that story of the hacker, it was just hallelujah. It's a story. It was just a story with what is coming next, and it's in the horizon. It's coming up. It's coming up. It's going to catch a lot of people by surprise. Okay, like it did a few stay around us, caught us by surprise. We were like, what? No gas station were empty. And they're planning to change all this very soon again. And this time it'll be worse. Are you ready for that? He says, are you ready to forget about that? And he's from North Carolina and told me this on the phone a few minutes ago. Like, it caught me by surprise, my brother and sister. So let's prepare. The Lord did gave me a revelation this week in regard to obedience. Amen. We're trusting the Lord. Remember this. Amen. We are trusting Jesus. But we got to remember that obedience with God. Oh, God said through Samuel, 1 Samuel 15:22. And Samuel said, Has the Lord had a great delight? It's a question. In burnt offering, sacrifices, as obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken them to than the fat of ram. Okay, which that's what they sacrifice to God. The priest sacrifice to God. Okay? So, obedience to God is very important. And the Lord show me obedience, okay, that if we obey him, Deuteronomy 28:1, so his voice, oh, the blessings are untold, are known to us, because he says that our reward is with him, okay, to give us to everyone according to thy work, he says, okay, so it's a tremendous blessing, amen. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and a pastorship to obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name. Okay? We have received, Paul said, all these things through obedience, faith in him and obedience. Okay? Very important. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Very, very important. Romans 5:19. For as by one man disobedience, many were made sinner, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Okay? Notice that righteousness goes after obedience, or comes after obedience into the person's life. Okay? One man came disobedient, and everybody was made sinner because of what Adam and Eve did. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous. Okay? Righteousness comes with the obedience of Jesus Christ. In righteous, we know it's right standing with God, but the blood, when we repent, cleanses us from all unrighteous, which is sin. Okay? This is why we need to be in daily repentance. My brothers and sisters, repentance in this timing is a must. Okay? It's a must. Because as far as we know, sin is not going away yet, but it will. It will. The Lord will take all that away. Okay? That's why he's given us a new body, my brother and sister. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whoever ye yield yourself as a servant to obey, his servant ye become whom ye obey, whether sin which lead unto death, whether obedient unto righteousness. Okay? It's very important we understand that there's a consequence for sin and there's a consequence for righteousness, repentance. The consequence for sin is death. The consequence for righteousness is a close relationship with God and much blessing unto us, the Lord show me. Very important. We stay close with the Lord in all this. No matter what happened, we cry out to him. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, teach me. Lord, keep me. All these things are must in our life every day. Shalom, Sister Renee. Hallelujah. Shalom to all those that are joining us tonight. Blessing to your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Romans 16:19. For your obedience has become known abroad to all men. Abroad to all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. By Jesus, I will have ye be wise unto that which is good, a simple concerning evil. And simple concerning evil. Okay? In regard to evil, we know it's simple because sin leads to evil, my brother and sister. But for your obedience has become known abroad to all men, Paul says to the Roman, I am glad therefore in your behalf, because the blessing is untold. Paul cannot describe to them the blessing of them being obedient. Okay? The Lord show me the blessing. He showed me our lives, mine mostly. Shalom, healing sister, healing heart sister, shalom. He showed me the unseen blessing that God has for them that are obedient, that you cannot see with your naked eyes, lest the Lord reveals them to you. I'm standing before our lives, ahead of us, in that obedient, hallelujah, that God wants us to be in him. And the blessing went left and right of our lives. And there was no way possible, if you are obedient, not to be blessed. Because God prepares them for us and set them before our lives. And if each and one of us are obedient, hallelujah, each and one of us will receive from God untold, unknown blessing. And they are so great that there's no way you will not praise God. Oh, glory be to him. Thank you, Jesus. My brothers and sisters, he was explaining them to me as he was showing them to me. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah, that this is why, when you decide to be obedient, hallelujah, sometimes you see, in the beginning, you see no blessing. When you make the choice and begin to walk, hallelujah, it feels so different than being disobedient, because disobedient, we know how to easily.
But obedience we learn every day through his word, through his example. Jesus came on the earth to teach us obedience. His whole life, since he was little until 33 and a half years of age, when he went home to be with the Father, he taught us obedience. There are the greatest sample in the Bible, like Abraham, my brother and sister. Abraham was obedient with God. God says to Abraham, be thou perfect before me. But the Bible says afterward, there was a famine in the land. And Abraham ended with his wife, his slaves, his cattle, his sheep, ended up going down to Egypt. The devil, when he saw Abraham going down to Egypt, the devil prepared a plan into where we will have Abraham lose all his prosperity, his blessing from God. But when the devil makes a plan against you and I in obedience, God gets a hold of the devil's plan. And whatever he meant for evil, God turns it around for good in our life and obedience. This only happens in obedience. Because he also showed me disobedience, what happened when we walk in disobedience. But in obedience, excuse me, whatever the devil plans, gets changed, get destroyed. My brother and sister. And he's not happy that I received this revelation this week. He doesn't like this because this is going to help people in the Lord to serve the Lord, to focus on Jesus, to seek to be an obedient like Christ. That they'll say, Father, but not my will, but thy will be done. And they walk with the Lord. Hallelujah, like Jesus. Be like Christ. Let the disciple be like the master. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. And so the devil, hallelujah, planned to ruin Abraham's life as he ended up going down to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. My brother and sister. And we know that the devil can cause famine also. Because in Job's life, he created a famine. There was a famine in Job's life after the devil came after him. My brother and sister, God is in control though. And this is the part that many people mix. A lot of people are studying the devil, the darkness too much. And they're forgetting to study the light. Life in Christ. Focus on Jesus most of your life. 99.9, focus on Jesus. 100% focus on Jesus and nothing about anything else. Because God had looked at me, Lord Father, had looked at me and said, I'm in control. In other words, whatever people are saying down there about the Nephilim, fallen angel, this teaching, that teaching, no. He says, he's in control. My brother and sister, and we need to stay focused on that because a lot of time we lose focus. That's not good for us. Not good for us. We need to stay focused on Jesus and walk the narrow way with him. The way is narrow. My brother and sister, that leads us to life. And if when we walk with him, he'll teach us the way. He'll keep us focused on him. See, here's the thing. As you get closer to him, he helps you to stay closer to himself. Because he knows he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That no man comes to the Father, except through him. He knows this very well. Father knows this very well. The Holy Spirit knows this very well. They're not going to lead you to nobody else. Because nobody else can help you. Nobody else can help you. Everybody else outside of that can ruin you, but never help you. No fallen angel can help you. No devil can help you. Can lead you to anything good, but everything evil. The devil gives people money and then he takes their lives. No one outside the Lord can help you. Hallelujah. Put no trust in nothing else, my brother and sister, but only in Jesus Christ, our Lord. No matter how hard it is, how difficult it is, ask him for help. Not asking for help is pride. Not crying out to him for help is pride. Not praying is pride. Not fasting is pride. Not coming to him is pride. But coming to him every day is humility. You learn humility. You learn to be obedient. How do you learn to be obedient? It's easy. It's easy when you look at Jesus. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the thing which he suffered. Every suffering God allows into your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we say God allows it because in the conversation between God and Satan in regard to the life of Job, was in God telling Satan if he didn't have not considered his servant Job, who was righteous and perfect in the land, to God allow Satan to test Job, my brother and sister. God was testing Job. The devil was tempting Job. When the devil comes against you, he comes to tempt you. God comes to test you. You know how God tests you? Like he tests gold. The more he put gold through the fire, the most beautiful, the more pure gold become. That's God in your life. He makes you more pure. He makes you more valuable in him. The devil tempts you. The devil, temptation is the devil making you other offer. Okay? Other offer. And that's why he told Eve that if she will eat from the fruit, that God know that the day you will eat from the fruit, you will be like God. He put into her the seed of being like God, a God which God is only one God, the Bible says, one. And the devil, the same desire in his heart to sit in the throne of God, ask God, that same seed of evil planted him in the woman. And in the man. And in the moment she received the word of Satan, she was fallen. From the moment she heard the word and now rebuked the devil before she ate from the fruit, she was falling. The reason why she ate from the fruit, it was because she was falling. The word, the seed of disobedience was planted in her. And when she didn't got on her knees and cry out to God and say, I'm sorry for allowing this in my life. I am so sorry. Please forgive me, Father. At that very moment, she would have not ended up eating from the seed. It was when she heard the devil and took the word into her heart. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. That's when she was fallen. Allowed doubt and unbelief. And then looked at the fruit and thought it was good. And when it ate, before, it was not the same. But this time, she gave a hard look to the fruit. She really looked upon the fruit and desired it. And adultery, fornication, and other sins, idolatry, come by desiring something that you don't have. And all that combination of sin came into her heart when she listened to the devil. A full combination, her heart got filled immediately before she ate from the fruit. The consequence of her of sin were her eating from the fruit. And the ultimate consequence was being kicked out of the garden, being rebuked and kicked out of the garden. God was not going to allow that sin to go unpunished. My brother and sister, humanity has been suffering for it, being punished by it. And when we repent and come to Christ and we die and we go to heaven, we come out of the punishment right away. And in heaven, my brother and sister, no more suffering, no more pain. There's only joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. And as I saw my brother Milton laughing and enjoying in the presence of God, my brother insisted, a tremendous peace and tremendous glory of God was all over him. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. It was like he was in the bottom of the ocean. And the ocean is the presence of God. He was in the bottom of it, full of the glory of God, enjoying heaven. My brother and sister, on earth he struggled. In heaven, he enjoys. That's how it is with God. Praise you, Lord. So he was showing me the obedient life in Christ, that if we make the choice to follow him in obedience, the blessing are untold, the blessing are known, they're to the left and to the right. He'll bless us with things we did not plan, we did not know. It comes from God. All the way to the end, he showed me our life, all the way to heaven. But if we are not obedient and choose to be disobedient, and there are many ways we can choose to be disobedient, he showed me, on earth. It's confusion, disappointment, sickness, hurt, argument, disagreement, hallelujah, lack of this, lack of that, the door are closed, our house are empty, our relationships are not there, there's no love in the relationship, no love in marriage, father and son separation, father and daughter separation. He showed me the life of disobedience on earth. Thus, many have chosen, but if you choose that, he showed me in the spirit, the attack comes through the spirit. As the blessing comes from the spirit, spiritual blessing to us, heaven, so our disobedience comes from hell, attack from hell, heavenly place, earth. All the darkness works in the highway or street of disobedience. And if we go the way of disobedience, the highway of evil that comes through that, the street, highway, road, however you want to say it, is full of evil, harm, pain, and so much more. But if you choose obedience, hallelujah, the blessing are untold, protection is guidance is there, wisdom from God, knowledge, hallelujah. But the things that you will need in this life are also set by God for you in obedience, where there's no way you can lack anything. He showed me this. The Lord showed me this. And he was talking to me about it as he was showing me obedience. The blessing are unknown, unheard, untold, and obedient. The Lord was standing there in obedience, showing me these things. Hallelujah, talking to me. Hallelujah, because of course he wants us to choose obedience. But he didn't leave out disobedience, the way of disobedience. How horrible it is, how painful it is, my brother and sister. So it's more difficult to live in disobedience than to live in obedience, my brother and sister. Because in disobedience, you lose everything. Adam and Eve lost the garden in disobedience. In obedience, they had it all. They have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the angelic protection of heaven. All the fruit, all the tree were producing fruit every day, fresh. All he had to do was work the garden, put everything in place where he wanted them to be. In other words, set it to his likeness. Notice how God told Abraham to name everything. Even the woman he named. So God, the work of Adam, was to make everything in the garden according to his likeness. How do you want things to be? Hallelujah. That's what God set him there for, to work the garden, make it according to his likeness. Go ahead and name the animal. He had him name everything, my brother and sister, everything. He just gave everything to him and said, go ahead, name him. Hallelujah. Make everything according to your likeness, how you like things to be. Hallelujah. It's like every home is set up differently. And sometimes the homes are made in the same form. They all have the same formation. But when you go to everyone's homes, every homes are set up differently. My sofa is set up in a way that you will come to my house. I will not set it up that way, Brother Elvie. I'll set it up the other way. And then you set it up the other way, and someone else comes and says, no, I don't like it that way neither. I think I like to put it the other way. And everybody's different. When the Lord showed me the mansions in heaven, he showed me endless mansions. And then these mansions was for believers that are on the earth that are coming home. Every single mansion, as the Lord showed me, was made to the likeness of the person. That's why I can tell you that how God wanted Adam to have everything in the garden, to work the garden, was to make it to his likeness. Because if, as I saw and as it is, every single fruit was producing fruit every day, you don't have to plant anything. You don't have to replant anything. An apple tree can produce from 500 to 750 apples, and same as the pear and the rest of the fruit. You will need a lot of people to eat that much apple in a year. And so the vegetables are reproducing itself. I have planted certain vegetables in a box, square box that I made with wood. And every year, the vegetable comes back again by itself. I can cut the top and eat it, and it'll come back every year because of the winter and all that. It comes up every year. In the garden, if I have the same box, it will produce me vegetable every day. So the Adam needed to plant anything? No, because it was producing vegetable or fruit every single day for the rest of his life, my brother and sister. So it was to make everything to his likeness. So in heaven, when the Lord showed me the mansion, every single mansion was made to the likeness of the persons. And the Lord Jesus showed me this and wanted me to see that every single mansion in heaven that he given to each and one of us are made according to how we like them. So mansion entrance are main entrance, so you can understand me, are different from other. Because that's how the owner will like his house. And the Lord knows this. And he made it just like what's in the heart. That's why every single home is adorned. It's set up differently than everybody else. And the Lord knows this. He made us. He formed us in the womb of our mother. And in heaven, Jesus wanted me to know this so I can come back and tell you. This happened a few years ago, and I can still remember clearly, my brother and sister, over 10 years ago. Our lives, each and one of us are different. None of us are unique. Oh, each and one of us are unique. None of us are the same. Unique we are, but the same we're not. Even our DNA is different, my brother and sister. And that's why what they made and the cover by seeing, thinking that everyone can be vaccinated the same because everyone, this DNA is close to each other. This is why a lot of people are getting so sick. And some people have been vaccinated, they die right away. Because no devil, no fallen angel, and no man are going to make something perfect like God. That is impossible. And this is what they know. But the fact is that they don't care who dies through the vaccine. They're willing to vaccinate all humanity, even if more than half of humanity dies. They don't care. They didn't make you in the womb of a mother. They didn't birth you to come to life. They don't care about you. And in the day you understand that, the more closer you want to come to God. Humanity don't care. Your government don't care. Scientists don't care who you are. If they did, they would have never released the coronavirus vaccine yet. My brother insisted. And they would have never come up with the coronavirus neither, my brother and sister. And it's taking humanity a long time to understand this. Don't know why. One Savior, one mediator, one awesome, merciful, and good God who is willing to love you, hallelujah, forever. And people reject him so easily. It's unwilling to receive from man a vaccine that can kill them almost instantly. My brother and sister, what is so wrong? God did not make man this way. My brother and sister. But man, hallelujah, wants to listen to fallen demon, fallen angel. Now, here's another problem. Me are being put magnets in it. Here's a dream. Midnight Oil Sister. The Lord gave a warning right to this. I'll be back after this.
Hi, everyone. I'm Melissa with Midnight Hour Oil. I just wanted to first wish all the dads out there a happy Father's Day. I hope and pray that you're having a blessed day with your families. I also just wanted to give glory to our Heavenly Father because he is truly the best Father that anyone could ever hope for. And if you don't know him, I pray that you will come to know him very soon. So what I wanted to come out and share with you, a couple dreams I've had that I feel like they are pointing to a potential crisis within the meat industry. All right, so I'm going to share these dreams, and I just encourage you to take these to the Lord in prayer. And all right, so the first dream I had, I was just standing there, and this older gentleman, like a farmer, he had a clipboard. And there was a piece of red meat on the clipboard, about the size of the clipboard, and he hands it to me, and he says, you need to analyze why all the charts, the bars, the graphs are showing over top of the red meat. They're in the red. They're not above it like in the black. And he's like, I needed to analyze why. So I talked to my husband about this. He has a background in accounting. He's a business analyst. And he was explaining that when a business is in the red, it means that more money is going out than what is coming in. And he said most businesses couldn't survive beyond a year in the red. So what I believe Holy Spirit is showing us with this dream is that many of these farms, like the ones that were forced to put their cattle down last year because of the COVID crisis, are in trouble economically and maybe are in danger of going under, which would lead to a meat shortage. And so I just wanted to encourage you to pray about that. Whatever the Lord shows you to do concerning that, you may just, you know, want to scout out a local farm, a small farm that that could, you know, supply you with meat in the future. But yeah, that may become an issue, all right? Now, the second dream I had was also related to meat, but it was more of a warning about what kind of meat is going to be offered. So in this dream, my husband and I were going to dinner at a restaurant, and at this restaurant, you had to go up to the window and tell the butcher what kind of meat you wanted, and then you would go in and eat. So I was at the window to order, and the butcher wanted to know what we wanted, and I was asking my husband what kind of meat did we get last time, and I couldn't remember. I wasn't sure what kind we wanted to get. So the butcher starts making a suggestion, and he's talking about some type of a meat that I had never heard of. And I said, no, I said, I don't want that. I said, I've never heard of that. I don't want that. So I feel like the Lord is showing us with these two dreams, you know, that there is possibly a meat shortage coming, like real meat is not going to be available. So what we may see is some type of alternative being offered to us that who knows what it is, all right? So best thing to do, I would say, again, find a local farmer that, you know, could supply you with meat. I few weeks ago went out to a local farm not far from our home, and they butcher all the animals right there. So I know where the meat is coming from. And so I would encourage you to maybe do the same. That is, if you eat meat. Some people may not eat meat, but if you do, you definitely want to know where it's coming from these days. After I had that first dream, I started getting all these emails, like two or three emails, where people were sending me videos of some of the meats they were buying in the supermarkets that were magnetic. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the meat industry. But I think we've got to just be wise, okay, and just do your research locally, see if you can find a supplier locally, and maybe just stock up on some beans. I mean, that would be the alternative, you know, with the proteins and all that. But, again, take this to the Lord in prayer, and just ask Him to show you what to do. For as long as we're here, we're just going to have to be vigilant, church. And stay in that secret, that quiet place, that secret place of the Lord's presence. You know, where His Word tells us that He hides us, that He protects us from the conspiracies of man, Psalm 31. And if ever we needed to be protected from the conspiracies of man, it's today. So as always, church, it is my prayer that we will all continue to keep our lamps burning bright while we wait for Jesus. I love you all. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord. There it is. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming. Gas shortage, food shortages are coming. It's coming to the U.S., my brother and sister, I believe, to the rest of the world. And so we need to be prepared for these things. And prepare is repenting, seeking the Lord, seeking obedience. And the obedient with God, God will provide us with what we need. He'll bring it one way or another. With Him, all things are possible. Okay? We don't want to find ourselves in disobedience and knowing all these things coming. And then being like the rest of humanity, we're going to get this or that. When you are in obedience with God, you don't worry about those things because He brings them to you. Amen? He makes a way where there was seen no way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the knowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He will make a way. He will. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 7:15, and His inward affection is more abundant to her while He remembers the obedience of you all now with the fear of trembling receiving Him. So here's the thing. Every time the children of Israel cry out to God, God remembers the promise He made. And not only that, the obedience of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a remembrance. The Apostle Paul says this to YG, he remembered the obedience of you all. Okay? Knowing the fear and trembling that you receive Him. So God remember when you are obedient, and God remembers when you were obedient. Okay? Or they were your parents, grandparents, whoever it was. He does remember the obedience of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But He also remembers your obedience. It's a remembering when you seek, when you used to pray, when you used to repent, when you were there. So that's why you got to keep doing, because you're accumulating that in heaven. There is a record keeping in heaven that the Word talks about. The books were open. Record keeping books are in heaven of your obedience. Okay? You're repenting now. You're seeking Him now every day. That brings into the booking, record keeping booking in heaven, and then that comes to remember. And in this, when the difficult time comes, that is being brought up, okay? And then God said, okay, yes, remember my child. Let me help my child. We're going to supply your need according to His riches and glory. His hand comes to work, my brother and sister, in your behalf. And then you're not like, oh, but what am I going to do? You're not guessing.
because God is taking care of you. And that's hallelujah. That's what God's, that's how he wants to do things. Because when he takes care of you and I, then we praise him. We give him glory. My brother and sister. Second Corinthians 10:5. Casting down the imagination, every high thing that has set itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? There's so much to bring into captivity. So much that you need to rebuke. Cast out. Okay? Pray against. Some people say, pray against that. Rebuke that. Cast it out of your life. Reject it. Stay away from it. Okay? Don't allow it. My brother and sister, casting down the imagination, whatever thoughts or imaging, imagination begins with image. As we see in the computer, image. What is an image? A picture of something that is not of God. That can be cast down. You know, in disobedience, the devil can bring all this stuff. He can try in obedience, but in the moment you repent of it, and you remove it or cast it out, it's gone. Okay? That didn't work. Okay? So he's allowed to tend to you, but in the moment you rebuke it, you cast it out, you don't go do it again. You don't repeat it. You try to open an image in your computer, and you're like, why is this thing not opening? Why? And then it's something evil. I'm not going to describe it. Something evil. Because anything bad is evil. Oh, this bad image. No, it's an evil image. Okay? The devil who's evil brought that evil image into your computer one way or another. But I have a firewall, brother. I have this antivirus. It's supposed to be top of the line. I used to use Norton antivirus a lot. But it allows so much garbage on my computer, which I always wonder why, because I ended up changing it. Now, the antivirus that I use, I got Bitdefender, okay? Bitdefender. And you can follow Bitdefender history with the government because they tried to get into someone's computer who was doing illegal stuff, and Bitdefender is so strong that not even the government can get into, okay? So it was all over the news, my brother and sister. So it tells you it's a good antivirus. When the government cannot get into it, it's a good antivirus. And it's because hackers like to get into it and try to get to your computer. There are hackers online on YouTube. They recommend Bitdefender because they can still try to break into it, and they cannot. Okay? And they're the one that throw viruses in people's computer. If you put in there Norton, they'll tell you they can hack into Norton, McAfee, and all the antivirus, but not Bitdefender. Okay, so they highly recommend it online. Praise the Lord for that, for protection for your computer. Okay, now, in regard to your mind, what is the best protection? The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the best protection. Repentance. Because the blood goes into action when you repent. Okay, and you take them captive in the name of the Lord, and you rebuke it. Thank you, Lord. And when that demon who was sent to do that against you, you bind and rebuke, the demon recognized authority in the Lord. The reason why my friend Raphael, who's in heaven, one time when he was on earth, there was a time he was in his room rebuking the devil. He said that the devil was attacking him, and he was rebuking. And when the Lord says to Raphael, my son, why are you rebuking me? He opened his eyes and it was Jesus. Huh? Why are you rebuking me? Because he was in fear. He closed his eyes. He was looking down, rebuking with his hand. Okay? He was inviting the Lord and rebuking the devil. And the Lord said, why are you rebuking me? And then he saw himself sitting on a table. Across from him was the devil. The Lord was sitting on the side in the mirror, in the middle. And he says to the Lord, Lord, look at Satan. He wants to hurt me, Lord. Rebuke him, Lord. And the Lord looked at him. You rebuke him. I already overcame him. And the cross, the Lord says, I have given my church the authority to rebuke the devil. And the devil kept doing things like, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to do this, or do that. And Raphael was so afraid and was calling unto Jesus for help and said, no, my son, you rebuke him. I have given my church the authority. And the Lord, you have the authority to rebuke all kinds of demons and the devil. But if you don't exercise your faith, my brother and sister, a lot of people, what they have is lack of exercising their faith in the Lord. How do you do it? You practice in this field every day. Because every day the devil is planning to come against you one way or another. How do you grow in the field about rebuking the devil? Begin to do it tonight. Begin to do it now. Begin to do it every day. If he's attacking your finance, your relationship, your jobs, your car is breaking down all the time, whatever's happening, you need to start rebuking it. As simple as your car breaking down can be the enemy doing it. But Brother Avi, my car keeps breaking down because it's a bad car. Not necessarily. Why didn't you start rebuking the demon that is attacking your car? Huh? I remember a long time preaching about this, and people thought it was nonsense. How can you say, I got to rebuke the demon that is attacking my car? You know, it's a piece of metal. What did that have to do with demon? I said, go ahead and try. See, here's to us, logic. We want to make everything logical. Everything logical. If it doesn't make sense to us, I don't want to do it. That made no sense to me. But really, I don't want to do that. That made no sense. Rebuking the demon that is attacking my car, that made no sense, Brother Irving. I said, all right, what do you have to lose? Try it. Try and see what happens. Okay? And then some people were trying it. Car was always breaking down, taking it to the mechanic, paying hundreds of dollars to fix it. And a few days after, the same process, just try. They started rebuking it. And weeks go by, the car was not breaking down again. And rebuking the devil, rebuking the demon out of it, and the car was not breaking down again. Other than that, they had no more car problem. Are you telling me that these demons were attacking my car? This is why my car was breaking down. Did it work? Yes, it did, brother. Oh, thank you, brother. Well, I didn't know that. I would have kept paying mechanic all my life. Yeah, you see? Praise you, Lord. All we need is a little wisdom from the Lord. Little wisdom from him, and it'll change our life right away. It changed my life. Changed so many people's life. A little wisdom from the Lord, it changes our life. Because you will not see the devil coming. It's a spirit. If he's sitting in the back of your car, you don't know. Unless you have the Lord, you have the presence of the Lord, discernment, and you can discern the devil, then you know. But if he's sitting in the back of your car or riding on your car and you don't see him, you don't know. If he's causing car problems to you, you don't know and he's having fun because you're not rebuking him. And the moment you begin to rebuke him using your authority in the Lord, he start getting mad. You know, you start doing it with fear, okay. But when you start exercising your faith, says Satan, I rebuke a demon, principality, whatever it is, I bind you. I rebuke you out of my car. Do not touch my car anymore. Lord, put a hedge of protection. Lord, I put a hedge of protection around my car. Lord, put a hedge of protection around my car. I know demon can touch it and do this every day. Thank you, Lord. I have people with their job being attacked at their jobs. So rebuke the demon. Rebuke the principality. Before, it was an everyday thing. Then they started doing it. And it started going away. As the devil left, the problem left. As the demon left, the problem left there. Wow. I didn't know this. They were not teaching me this in my church, Brother Elvie. Honey heard this on the Lord's Hour, and it sounds crazy to me. First time I heard you talking about this, that made no sense. But I'm going to try it anyway. And the problem began to leave. I'm like, wow, Brother Elvie. This is awesome. Thank you, Brother Elvie. It's just a little wisdom from the Lord. The Lord began to teach you these things, and you begin to learn. You pay attention, and you begin to exercise your faith. You see these things living your life. You start living a better life. Because a lot of people, the way they're going in with their life, is like hell. Nothing works. okay? And they can have a principality coming against them through that area of their lives. But what did the Lord say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. In that area, it's all going through hell. It's all going to hell, some people say. Because they're now rebuking that principality. That principality is having fun in the area of your life. You think he cares that you're crying about that, that you're suffering through that and you're crying? Let's say a demon of sickness, a principality of sickness and pain all over your body. He comes every day. He pulls out his nail, his finger, and begins to cause you pain in your body. But this is why normally what the devil wants people to do. Oh, the Lord is not healing me. I keep asking the Lord to heal me. Nothing is happening. Why don't you try binding that demon and that fasting and praying? Because some of these demons don't live without fasting and praying, Jesus told his disciple. Praise you, Lord. You begin to fast and pray. And you begin to bind and rebuke that principality that is causing you pain. Okay? Causing you pain in your body. Okay? Bind him. Do not allow him to come every day to your house, to your body. Okay? And cause you that pain. Because if the Lord would open your eyes, this is what you'll see. A demon, a principality laughing at your pain. Laughing at you that are in pain. Okay? When I started teaching this 20 years ago, when the Lord started showing me this, my brother and sister, people were like, how can that be? Well, try it. And they began to fast and pray and rebuke it. In order to sign, the demon began to leave, and it was less, 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 less until it was gone. That principality was not coming anymore. To bring pain to your body. And there were people who were suffering so much pain that sometimes could not even move when this pain came upon them. A lot of pain. And it was an everyday thing, and they thought that for the rest of their life, they were going to be in pain. The pain was never going to go because they were sick. And that's the way it was going to be. They were already believing the demon, the devil, that that's the way it was, that their life was never going to change. And that is not true. That is not biblical. There's no righteousness in that. There's no justice in that belief. None. None, 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 my brother insisted. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, okay, and I'm going to read it to you right now from the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. There's no logic on that belief. That comes from the heart of Satan and the pit of hell. Thank you, Lord. First of all, your healing comes to you like a report from heaven. A report sealed and signed by God. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is the fear of the devil. This is the greater fear of the devil. That the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. Because if it is, in vain he will send the principality against you, his demon against you. It won't work. It won't work. Because you have to cover the Lord. The arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. This is a report given to Isaiah for the people. This is the report revealed through Isaiah for us. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The report is Jesus. The healing is Jesus. Okay? You want to know that it's him? Verse 2. For he who? Messiah. He who? Jesus of Nazareth. The one that went to the cross for you and I. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. This report comes sealed from Father to your life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. For he hath no form, no comeliness. For he, when he shall see him, there's no beauty in him that we will desire. You know what this image of Jesus is? this image that you will not desire, that you will not like, it is Jesus on the cross. This picture right here, verse 2, is Jesus on the cross for you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know what they've done in heaven to people that gone to heaven that did not know, did not learn this on the earth? The angel says to them, the redeemed, come and we will show you. There's something that you need to learn that you did not learn on earth. And the redeemer is like, what is it that I need to learn? And the angel said, come and I will show you. Look to your right. You know what they show them? Jesus on the cross, crucified for them, for their sickness, for their sins. They're like, and by his stripe, and by his wound, ye are healed. Oh, this word is so true. It's so powerful. It's so eternal. Oh, it's alive. Jesus said to me, my word is alive. My word is true. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's the image. If you don't learn this on earth and you die and you go to heaven, even with sickness, you die and you go to heaven, they're going to show you Jesus on the cross, reveal that died for you to be healed, that by his wound, that by his stripe, you are healed. This word never gets old, and you need to learn it. Angel tells people in heaven, you need to learn this. You need to know this. Praise you, Lord, he died for you. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow. This is the man that carried the cross on his back. This is the man that carried the cross on his back for you and I. He is despised. He is rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. For he, hallelujah, for we hid, as it was our faith from him, he was despised and we see him not. Here's the problem with humanity. In regard to Jesus, they have not seen him. Esteem is value him, value his sacrifice. And the moment you value his sacrifice, you understand the value of his sacrifice. And when you rebuke that demon, that principality that is causing you pain, it will leave your life. This is what happened to me. I was in great pain. And I keep coming to the Lord as a believer for him to heal me. Hallelujah. But I didn't understand the healing until he revealed me the word, himself and the word, what he went through for me, what he suffered for me. It was for me to be healed. I didn't get that image in me until he put it in me. And got it. And I began to be healed. It was in my family line that we were have heart problem. And I began to have heart problem. My heart in my early 20s began to fail me. And I told my mom on the phone what was happening to me. My mom had already had heart problem. This already been in the family. My father died when he was 42. My brother and sister. Now in my early 20s, I started having this problem. My brother and sister. And if you go through doctors, surgery is what they're going to recommend. Hallelujah. They did a surgery on my mom's heart. They just did a test this week on my mom's heart. And I know the Lord has healed her before through me. They just did a surgery and found something in her heart again that she needs to see a specialist. She just got COVID-19 this week. She didn't know yet she had COVID-19. She tested positive in the island. Went to the doctor and they did a check on her heart and find another thing in her heart. I believe that COVID-19 just caused this on my mother. She was very scared, called her my aunt. And the doctor said, we cannot release you unless one of your family comes. So my aunt went and signed the paperwork and got her back home. Doctors say you need to see a specialist. It's very concerning in regard to your heart. And now she's taking medication. She got very afraid. When she told me this, our laughter began to come out of me, not making fun of my mother, but knowing that the Lord had healed my mom from this before. And by his stripe, by his wound, we are healed. My brother and sister, I said, Mom, why are you worried? Why are you worried? She's like, they just told me. They just told me. And she's like, already like putting herself down to dying. I'm going to die, is what she's thinking. When God is in control, and it's up to God how long she'll live or die. My brother and sister, if God have allowed this, it's just another test of faith on her lives. The Lord can heal her like he has done it many other times. My brother and sister, when you have that comforting in the Lord, all you do is, what you need to do is pray fast and claim the healing from the Lord, and it'll come. It will come, my brother and sister. It has happened before. Thank you, Jesus. She's been dead four times, and four times the Lord has brought her back. The Lord has used me to bring her back. What's the difference now? Thank you, Lord. She's a young 71, I believe it is, or 69. I believe she's a young 71. She's not old 71. She's young 71, my brother insisted. By his stripe, by his wound, we're healed. Praise the Lord. It took her like a week to get what I was saying to her. Because that's how God works sometimes with us. We forget. We need to be reminded. My brother and sister, who have believed our report, God says? Are you one of them or you're one of them than that? That despise. No, I don't want to hear it. When you despise something, there's someone that says, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about it. That's not for me. I'll go to my doctor. I go to a specialist. I'll see what they have to say. If they want surgery, we'll do surgery. But you can die in surgery. Okay? With God, you're guaranteed to live. My brother insisted. He'll give you life. He will give you life. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4, the prophet prophesied and said, surely he have borne our grief. Hallelujah. And carry our sorrow. When he carries it, you don't have to carry it. You see the difference? If he takes it in his hand and put it in his, hallelujah, stripe, which you're healed by, you are healed. From the moment you are sick, from that very moment, okay, it's on his stripe. And from that very moment, you're healing. And the moment you are sick, from that very moment, you are healed and the same. So what's taking longer? You're being tested through it. That's the test of your faith that God is doing. He has your healing. He has your sickness in his hand, because that's what the stripes are. And he has your healing also in his hand. At that very moment, he has the chew in his hand plus your life. And you are healed by his stripe. Your healing is in his hand. Your reward is in his hand. My brother and sister. And the only thing God is doing is testing your faith. In other words, increasing your faith. Making your faith stronger. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Because this is a test the Father wants you to pass. Okay? Father wants you to pass this test like a rainbow. Remember the rainbow? He wants you to pass this test, hallelujah, like a rainbow in your life. Thank you, Jesus. With the promise God said, hallelujah, he will not destroy the earth the same, will not be the same. This time it's different. That means God's word is fulfilled when he says it's fulfilled. And God has healed you to the stripe of Jesus. This is something you can hold on with all your life. Hallelujah, because he did it already. He went to the cross. Surely. You know what that word surely is? secure, something that is sure or for sure. It's something that if for sure God gives us what he promised us, for sure we have it. You have it because he went to the cross for sure, and for sure the prophet prophesied that he will go to the cross. And on that for sure, God said he brings your healing and your deliverance for sure through Christ. It is sure in heaven, and it's also sure on earth. All you have to do is believe it. So God is working on your faith, our faith, to believe it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It is a for sure thing. Hallelujah. He bore our grief, carry our sorrow. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The reason why we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted was because we did not understand the plan of God. In our limited mind, we said, why did he have to suffer so much when he was doing it for us? That was his love in display for you and I. He was displaying his love by being stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. My brother and sister, he was saying, bring it on, because I'm doing this for my daughter. Bring it on, because I'm doing this for my son. I want my daughter to be free. I want my son to be healed. I'm doing it, bringing it on, bring it on, bring it on. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. But he was wounded for our transgression. Oh, our sin cost such a heavy price. But it was on him. You see? It was not on you. It was on him. All you had to do is repent. Because Jesus suffered for your sin. And repent sincerely. Because sincere is the Lord. He was bruised for our iniquity. There were plenty of many that we made. But he was bruised for them. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace that we would have never stopped. But by his mercy, we're going to enjoy everlasting peace in him. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And what his stripe, we are healed. Presence, this is past and this is future for us. My brother and sister, the healing through Christ, that by all the stripes that are in his body. Thank you, Lord. Someone looked at the strike in heaven and they were still bleeding. He still bleed for his people out of the strike. When his people sin, when his people are disobedient, he bleeds for them. I thank you, Lord, because he loves them. Hallelujah. He'll never stop bleeding until they are in heaven, foot and footness in the glorified body. That's when he stopped bleeding for his people. He loves his people. My brother and sister, I thank you, Jesus. We were all like sheep gone straight. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Hallelujah. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer as dumb, and so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment. Hallelujah. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The pain that was upon him, it was so for you and I. There's no demon in hell, heavenly place on the earth. Hallelujah. That can take your blessing from you. Because your blessing, there's no devil that can. There's no Satan that can. Because your blessing are in Jesus. Your healing are in Jesus. You see? Your miracle is in Jesus. Your miracle cannot be stolen. Your healing cannot be stolen. Your blessing, your reward is your blessing, cannot be stolen because they are in Christ. The devil cannot steal anything from his hand. He said, no one can take my life. No one can take my life, but I laid it down on myself so I can take it back up again. No one can take your blessing. You need to understand this. No one can take your healing. Hallelujah. The only one that can stop you from being healed is your own unbelief. That's the only thing. Jesus went to a town and he couldn't do no miracle there because of their unbelief. It's your unbelief holding you back. God's promise has already been spoken. His word cannot return back void. It cannot. The only thing that can steal your blessing is you. The devil cannot steal your blessing. No demon can steal your blessing. No Mr. Lee can steal your blessing. No human can take your blessing. It's only you stealing from yourself. The blessing of God has already been spoken in that or in Jesus' hand. And he can give it to you at the moment you believe him. He can release it over your life, your healing. He can release it in the very second you believe. I thank you, Lord. That's why the man, when he brought his child to Jesus, said, Lord, help my unbelief. And the Lord have mercy and empower his faith to believe. And the man was able to believe and receive his healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The blind man heard of Jesus, that he was coming by to him. As he came many other times, but he had missed them, I guess, because this time when he heard Jesus was coming, he says, son of David, heal me. And the Lord kept walking because this man was being tested. And he cried out so loud that Jesus stopped and said, what do you want me to do, man? Lord, that I may see what's stopping you from crying out to Jesus to heal you, to do the miracle in your life, to open the windows of heaven. You are the only one stopping it. Nobody's doing it. No devil's doing it. The devil cannot do it. He can only tempt you. He can only distract you for not praying. He can only distract you for not fasting. When you pray and fast, you are serious. Remember the Lord, when I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, how do I know some people are serious, are coming, being sincere, serious. And the Lord says, if you tell them to fast and they do it, they're serious. I tell people usually to pray, usually to fast. Some people turn around and tell me, no, they cannot because they either have to take medication or they don't have the time because they're working. And the Lord told me, if they say no, they're not serious. And that's how I know. When people write to me to pray for something, and I tell them to pray and fast, as the word says, thank you, Jesus. If they say yes, they're serious, and do it. If they say yes and do it, they're serious. If they say yes and not do it, they're not. See? Be ye not deceived. God cannot be deceived. We're only deceiving ourselves when we do something and we say yes. And then don't do it. We're serious when we do it. That's why the Bible said, be doers of the word and not only hearers. That's how faith is tested. James said, show me your faith by your action. Hallelujah. Show me your faith. And I'll show you my faith by my action. Gotta be doer. It's being doers of the word that makes us how serious we are. If we're not doing anything about it, we're not. This we apply to ourselves daily. We know we need to fast and pray. We do it. We're being doers of the word. We're believing the word. We're going to the Lord for help. Doer, we're depending on him. That's humility. Humility. If God says, I will share, he said through Isaiah 62, I believe it is 60. God will share his spirit with the humble. It's the only way he'll share his fear with the humble. The humble is the one that come to him and said, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Humble himself before God. He'll share his spirit with the humble. But the pride, he looks on far. That's why a lot of people have no much presence of God in their lives. Pride. That's how you know. If you don't have much presence of God in you, that's pride. Got to repent. You got to humble yourself. If you're not praying much, pride. If you're not fasting, pride. If you're not calling unto the Lord, pride. If you're not meditating on the word daily as God told Joshua, pride. Pride, pride before a fall. If you're sinning much daily, pride. If you find yourself sinning much, pride. All these things are pride. Pride comes before a fall. What's fall? Sin. That's what's, when Adam and Eve fail, they sin. So, why are we sinning so much? Pride. If you repent pride, you find yourself sinning less. See? Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Depending on the Lord is what God wants us to do. That's humility. Verse 9, he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his dead because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Hallelujah. Verse 10, yet it pleases the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief, and thou should make his soul an offering unto sin. Now, why did it please his God to bruise him? It's not as we see it. How can it please you to hurt your son? That made no sense to me. No, it's not that way at all. It's not that he enjoys seeing his son suffering. No. He enjoys seeing Jesus suffering, not necessarily seeing his son suffering. It was because of all the people that he was saving through it. That gives whole humanity a chance of salvation to come back to him. Because remember, what does John 3:16 say? So God loved the world. God was focused on saving the world through his son. And God knew that the only way he could do that was for Jesus dying on the cross. He is the Lamb of God that taketh the sins of the world. It was the only way. Who would I send? Father says. And Jesus says, send I. My brother, he loves his son. That is as his beloved son. My brother and sister. That's his beloved son. Okay? What he was doing on the cross meant so much to Father for the salvation of humanity that the action that Jesus was taking, it pleases God. If we read it like it pleases the Lord to bruise him, it's like you taking a whip and beating up on your son until he's bleeding and you're laughing about it and enjoying it. No, that's not what God was doing. God is love. And in love, you're not going to hurt the one you love. On the contrary, you protect them. In love, you protect. And so he was not saying, oh, it pleases me to hurt my son. No. It pleases him, the action that his son took, to be obedient to him. When you take the action to be obedient, even though it hurts you, God is pleased with you. Not that you're going through pain, it's that you're being obedient. And obedient in heaven, for your obedience, you are going to receive great reward from Father. You cannot even imagine, as Jesus was showing me, the reward you're going to receive. You cannot see it. It is unheard of, the reward. My brother and sister, don't let anyone tell you any less. Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet learned he obedient by the thing which he suffered. I thank you, Jesus. See, Father was giving his son a test, as he gave you and I a test. And this test included a lot of suffering in the test. He gives us tests that comes with a lot of suffering. Not so much like his son. You'll never get a test like his son who suffers so much. But his word also says he will not give you more than what you can bear. So in another word, the test the Father is giving you and I, he knows that you and I could do them, pass them, accomplish them, finish them in obedience to him, because he's going to help us. You think that Jesus was doing all that alone? A lot of people think he was because he cried, Father, why have thou forsaken me? It was in a very moment, crucial moment, that he said those words. But Jesus had told his Father, told his disciple, and I got to remind you of this. Thank you, Jesus. This word in John 14. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father had never left him or forsaken him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 7 of John 14. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient to us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? Yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, here's the part that takes to us. Here's the part that takes to us, that takes faith. This takes faith. This is the work of God in our life to increase our faith. This is the part that takes faith. Verse 10. Believest thou, believe you now that I'm in the Father. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father? And that the Father in me? That the word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but by the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. It's the Father that does the work. My brother and sister. Remember the revelation God given me where I saw Father in Brooklyn? I shared one time on the Lord's Hour. When I saw Father in the Spirit moving to Brooklyn, you know how in the bridges, I don't know how many of you have been to Brooklyn, New York. In Brooklyn, the bridges, they're so dirty. Years ago, they've done a lot of cleaning and a lot of different stuff. But the with the triangles after, at that second level, you can go under with your car and all that in Brooklyn. But the road, the streets, the building has been scratched, painted. There's a lot of gems back then years ago. It was terrible. I went there. I've been there several times. I never wanted to go back there. Brooklyn was very horrible and stinky, stinky city and all that. When I saw Father in the Spirit, where there would be grass that was dead, as Father was walking, grass was coming up alive. With the smell on the wall and all that stuff was being removed and changed into life. When Father walks through something dead, it comes alive. If we walk through a dead body, the body comes alive. God is life, my brother and sister. He was in Jesus. Yes, it's a part of, that's the most beautiful part in Brooklyn where the Jewish people lives, because they have built their own community and keep it. They maintain it. They even have their own police in Brooklyn. So when Father walks through it, whatever is dead, I saw was coming alive. When he just passed by it, out of his presence, all it comes is life. If you're sick and Father comes close to you, you immediately are healed instantly. So when God is in us and we're preaching and praying for the sick, if you believe, you are healed instantly. I had sent a word through the radio. and ask people to believe. And the moment they believe, they heal instantly. I share a young lady who was in a wheelchair. And I remember God put in my heart to send the word. I sent the word. She was listening to the program when I used to do live radio, regular radio station live. She was healed instantly. The grandmother had to call the radio. The radio producer was crying on the phone. I knew something great had happened. God had me send the word. Several people got healed instantly. And he was crying on the phone, crying like a baby. When you see a grown man in their 50s, 60s crying like a baby, you know, he was crying under the presence and anointing of God. There was a tremendous presence of God on the radio station. Okay? And it was all glass around the radio station. Real nice, something real beautiful, nice. And we were renting it to do the program on the radio. That's in Lowell, Massachusetts. And the presence of God was very strong. We have fasted and prayed for God to heal. Brother Milton and I have fasted and prayed. And it was the presence of Father there. And as God led me to send the word, we sent the word. And the young lady got healed instantly when we had said she got up and walked right away. She'd been like that most of her life. People got healed instantly from different sickness and pain and things. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. A lot of people don't know that is when God tells you, I'm going to do something, you tell people, God told me he's going to be here. He's going to heal. Whatever word he gives me, I tell him, this is what he said. He's going to be here. He's going to heal. We do it according to his word. It's not like I'm going to be prideful as a preacher and say, we're going to do this today. No, we'll seek him, his leading, his guidance. Let's see God. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's see when we do another healing program. I've been planning to do another healing program on the Lord's Hour. Let's see when God tells me to do another one. When the Lord tells me to do another one, let's see God about it. Let's pray. Let's wait on him. When he tells me to do another one, I'll be jumping up and down. Lord, what day? I just heard the Lord say, yes, you're going to do another one. Thank you, Lord. What day, Lord? Rather pray, what day? He wants us to do another one. He just told me yes. Wants us to do another healing. But he wants to heal. It's different when I want God to heal you. It's totally different. My opinion versus his. When he wants to do it, he comes and do it, and it's done. Done. People are calling me, I'm here for this, I'm here for that. They're writing to me, I'm here for this, I'm here for that. They're praising God. Praising God. Remember, a couple years ago, we had a grown-up sister all her life in a wheelchair and got up and walked. Gave him a walk. We're here in the Lord's Hour, and she went walking since and going on with her life, traveling and everything, she says to me. She's so grateful to God for what he did when Jesus came. Oh, when Jesus comes, when he comes, everything changes. She just does it. Instantly. Praise you, Lord. And a lot of people ask me when. No, let's ask the Lord when. Lord, when? Lead us when. Guide us when. Tell us when. Let's seek him. Because he's the one coming down to heal. I'm just a vessel. People confuse the vessel with what the Lord does. No, never confuse the vessel. Everybody else is a vessel. The Lord is a healer. He's a miracle maker. He's one with God. When he comes down, people get healed. People get saved. People get delivered. People get baptized in tongues. People get baptized in fire. He just does it. And we rejoice, and then people think it's a preacher. It has nothing to do with a preacher. It has to do with asking him. I know him. You know him. We go to him, and we ask him, Lord, when can we do another healing program? What time of the month? End of the month? Middle of the month? When you want it, Lord? And we fast and pray. Sincere. And then the Lord does it. He comes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, Lord. There was a brother that got healed. And I was excited, more excited than him. Because he's telling me how the Lord healed him. Hallelujah. And I said now, because his sickness was holding him back from seeking God. Could not go out. His body was hurting too much. He was in pain. Could not even walk. His wife was working, supporting him and the children. And he was crying because he could not help his wife. And the power of the Lord came over him and healed him from all that pain and suffering. He couldn't understand what it was. And I said to him, commit yourself to the Lord now. Commit yourself. Whatever attack the enemy brought on his life, said, now commit yourself to the Lord. He started losing the strength to move his arm, to move his leg, all that. He's like a vegetable in bed just watching TV, the thing. Hardly move. His wife would have to help him even to go to the bathroom. And about 6 or 7 years going through this, he explained to me crying that this was very difficult. But the power of the Lord came. We pray and the power of the Lord came in. Hallelujah. Broke that. It was like a principality. And once the power of the Lord came, the principality left. It's another thing. I seen the Lord commanding principality to go. Praise your Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My brother and sister, whatever your sickness is, if it's a demon or principality, all you have to do is cry to the Lord. Lord, set me free from this, Lord. Whatever's causing this pain in my body, Lord, set me free, Lord Jesus. Please come and set me free. And continue to pray and fast. Watch what happens. It's going to come. We'll pray. We'll pray together. And the Lord will do it. It could be financially. You're frustrated. Some people have death coming to the life. Those are demonic attack. Whatever is causing you pain with your children, your family, those are attack of the enemy. And the demon is laughing at you. And you're wondering why God is not doing anything. And God is waiting on you for you to do something. How about that? The demon is laughing and causing you the pain. You're blaming God because he's not doing anything, and God is waiting on you to do something. How do you like that? God is waiting on you to fast and pray and believe him and cast out this demon out of your life. Hallelujah, for you to be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We like to sit on the chair and blame God. That is wrong. That is wrong. God is for you, not against you. God is not in his throne coming against humanity. On the contrary, God is in his throne supporting humanity. He brings his reign over good and evil. He brings his son over good and evil. He makes the air move over good and evil. He's not going against humanity. He is mad at the sin that humanity is practicing. That's one thing. Because God is holy, holy, holy and righteous. But he's not against humanity. If you can see in the spirit of God, not every day for this world, you will be shocked to the core of your being. My brother and sister, he's not against humanity. God is not against you at all. He is for you. But in our sin and disobedience, we open the door for the enemy to attack us, my brother and sister. And God is telling us, stop doing that. That is displeasing to me. Stop practicing that sin. Stop practicing that disobedience. And come to me, my child, and I will help you. As a father, he loves us and wants to help us, set us free. Jesus came to set the captive free, the Bible says. John 8:36, whom the Son set free, it is free indeed. He wants you to live a freedom life in him. Enjoy it, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus. Let's depend on him every day and watch what he'll do in your life. He's our helper. My brother and sister, he's there for us. He's here for us. See, the thing is, people think God is far when he's so close to you. The more you suffer, the closer he is. The more you're in pain, the closer he is. But the devil will tell you, oh, it pleases God to see you in pain. No. It pleases God to see you healed. It pleases the devil to see you in pain. You see the difference? Don't believe the devil. Believe God, my brother and sister. He can change a situation, boom, quickly. He can change the situation quickly. But you must depend on him. You must trust him. You must cry out to him. A lot of things that God have allowed in our life is for us to come closer to him. But the devil tells you, oh, look what's happening to you now. And then you start praying. You start fasting. You start calling upon the Lord. My brother and sister. And that gives the devil more open doors to come against your life. Instead of things getting better, they get worse. And the moment you're going forward with Jesus and you decide to stop and take a step backward, things begin to go backward too in your life, my brother and sister. But if you're going forward with him and something happens, if you trust him now on this and cry out to him because you trust him, you fast and pray, when something happens to you, immediately, let's say they take your child through the court, an example, begin to fast and pray for this to be changed. That's the action that God wants you to take. Not get negative, not take a step back. No. Call your brothers and sisters and say, let's pray together on this situation. You don't even need to say what it is. I have a difficult situation. I need you to pray and fast for me, Brother Elvie. Amen. And we begin to pray together. Praise you, Lord. Millions and billions of angels began to work in our behalf. God began to work in our behalf with this. And the situation is going to go to you 100%. My brother and sister, what's the victory? You're going to get the victory, but what is it that God wants you to learn through it? To trust him no matter what. Trust him no matter what. You cannot lose if you walk with God in obedience. It's impossible for you to lose. Jesus never lost a battle. He had never lost a battle. And you will never go to heaven and look to his eyes and say, I was trusting in you, but I lost this battle. No, that will never happen. That had never happened, and it will never happen if you trust in him. Never, ever, ever, ever had it happen before when I'm his servants. Abraham went down to Egypt still trusting the Lord. And God brought Abraham with more blessing that he had when he went into Egypt. God multiplied all his cattle, all his sheep, even greater. Read the Bible. Read the story. Job, God allowed the devil to tempt him, and he tempted Job for a while, or for a season, or a few seasons, and Job ended up with more than what he had in the beginning. Okay? Same with Moses, same with Solomon. God is a faithful God. His word testifies of his power and greatness and mercy that endure forever. You will never put God to shame. Never, ever. You will never can go to his throne one day when God invites you and say, my child, come to my throne. You can never say, Father, there was a day I was praying for this on earth and you didn't do anything about it. You can never say that to God. Because when you decide to pray and fast and really believe God and his promise, God immediately goes to work for you and makes things happen. And no one will ever point a finger to him. But what people will do as they go to the throne now and say, thou are worthy to be praised. And they raise their hand and they begin to praise him in his throne. Ye are worthy to be praised, O God. You've been merciful to me. Not only did you save my life, but you have also answered my prayer. When I thought I would lose everything, Father, there with you, the unseen God, making things happen to me on my side, in my favor. Thank you, oh Father. That's why he is worthy to be praised. He never lost a battle. My brother and sister, if you don't believe me, study the life of the children of Israel. Even though when they were in disobedience, God had made a promise to Moses. I will remove the Hittite, the Jebusite. I will remove all these nations from before thee. When Moses said to God, God, hallelujah, how do I know that you, if you don't go, I do not want to go. I will send my angel and my spirit with thee. My angel will go before thee, defeating thy enemy. There's where Jesus, where his sword. Hallelujah. As Moses and the people prepare, they thought they had a bloody, hallelujah, action as they went through the worst city. My brother and sister, hallelujah. When they went to the city of Jericho, those people were so prepared. They had such a great army that they thought they were going to have to shed much blood. And God said, no, no. I'm going to bring the wall of Jericho right before thee. Thou prepare a table before my enemy, says David. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And God brought the wall right before the children of Israel. The people in Jericho were so afraid when they saw the power of God that they couldn't even defend themselves. The children of Israel slew them and went on to move, my brother and sister, to further to the promised land that God had promised them. God promised them the land when they didn't even have it, that he will give it to their descendants. And just as God promised the land, God gave them the land. I told you last year, when Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump began to sign those agreements, I told you, uh-oh. Donald Trump was removed. So was Benjamin Netanyahu removed out of office. Both were removed. My brother and sister, God promised, I'm not going to change. My brother and sister, he made his promise to give the land to the children of Israel. He made those promises. And anyone that tried to take that land away, they will be taken away. They will be removed, my brother and sister. There were a lot of people, as I was watching on television, disagreeing that they voted for Benjamin Netanyahu, but now Naftali is in office. How is this possible, my brother and sister? Naftali is biblical. Hallelujah. The tribe of Naftali, they were called biblically only when they were needed. They were the better trained soldier to fight in battle, my brother and sister. And they, when they were sent forward, they were like the Navy SEAL of Israel. Naftali, remember that? Naftali is like the Navy SEAL of Israel. They are only called when they are needed. God had them called when they were needed. Now they were needed, they were called into office. My brother and sister, everything that's been happening is so biblical. All you have to do is read your Bible and see it clearly there. My brother and sister, God promised to never change. God never changed. Humanity is changing. Virus, coronavirus, coronavirus, and this and that. But God still remained the same faithful God in total control of everything. That's why God is calling us back to trusting him, to stop being distracted with what's happening in the world and focus on Jesus. The only solution to all the problem is Jesus. I reward us with him to give unto all of us according to our word. Let's continue to repent. Let's continue to witness. Let's continue to preach. Let's continue to reach out to others. Let's continue to do the work of God. Are we watered with him? Remember, if the economy falls, that will not affect the church. Heaven is not affected by anything that happened on this earth. This earth can, the economy can fall. Heaven, they're still praising God in the abundance of God. is endless. The blessing of God is endless. Nothing. If we're trusting in the Lord, nothing that is happening on this earth will affect us at all. And it can make things a little bit inconvenient. Because if they close all the Lowe's store, all the Walmarts, all the Home Depot, all the stores that we can go and buy things that we need, it will make things a little bit inconvenient because then we will have to make our own stuff. You see? So it will make things a little bit inconvenient. That's all it does. But the provision of Father to us, that will never stop. The provision for food and water and everything we need, that will never stop coming from heaven. He will still continue to supply our need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That will never stop as long as we stay close to him, trusting him, seeking him, believing him. His supplication keep coming because our reward is with Jesus. Our reward is coming from Jesus. He is the windows of heaven. He is the window in the ark. He is the window that Noah went and sent the dove, the Holy Spirit, to go out. Hallelujah. And find the dry land. My brother and sister, Noah trusted in the Lord. Who are you trusting in? If you're trusting on the Lord, the windows of heaven for you is Jesus. He has supplied your need according to his riches and glory. And his riches and glories are endless. His riches has no end. My brother and sister, his supplication has no end and no limitation. I finish with this testimony. There was a woman of God who were praying every day for God to supply her needs. She kept reading the word. She kept praying every day that God will supply her need. She had a great financial need. She was worried that she was going to lose her house because she could not go to work. I believe she was sick is a testimony. But she kept praying to the Lord and praying. She can move. She can go out into the garden, keep her flowers. And her garden was full of flowers and so much. And she will go out and sing to the Lord and praise him and pray. A month was going by, and she was getting a letter from the bank that they were going to take the house away. And so she was crying to God and said, God, I pray and pray and pray, but you don't answer me. I really need you to do something or I'll lose my house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And while she was in the garden, it came to her that if she takes some of those flowers she had, she said, I'm going to have to take some of these flowers and put them on Craigslist and begin to sell them. I might be able to make some money so I can send it to the bank. My brother and sister, the way we think most of the time are so limited in regard to what God can do. So she take pots with the little money she has, she bought bag, pot, whatever, and started putting those flowers in there, began to put them on Craigslist. People thought those flowers beautiful. And they began to order them and pick them up. She started making money. But she's still praying. She's still calling on to God. So she put on the information when she was selling the flowers that if she would have more equipment, which she could not afford to buy, because she says, I have plenty of flowers. It had rained a lot. It had plenty of seed. And I had so much flour, thousands of them. She said, I'm Craigslist, but I don't have the equipment really to work the land to continue to produce more flour. And I will be able to if I have the equipment. You know, with my health, I can barely move. I need this equipment, that equipment. So if I have this equipment, I'll be able to do. A man wrote to her and said, ma'am, will you send me your address? I will send you the equipment. She's like, huh. And she dead. And the man sent him the equipment. I will give you the equipment so you can go ahead and do these things. And she knew these equipment were thousands of dollars in price. When she asked the man said, no, free, I give them to you. And the man said, isn't that you've been praying for that God will supply you? And she began to cry and cry. She was asking God to provide her one way. Like if you're asking God, send me check in the mail, send me check in the mail, send me check in the mail. It would not come to her mind that if she would start selling the flower that was so plenty of thousands of flowers in her garden, beautiful, that so many people will begin to order so much that she will be able to pay her mortgage, cut up to her mortgage, and even put money down to the house. So much money was coming in. And now she has thousands of dollar equipment given to her for free, practically new. She began to cry and repent, but began to learn that a lot of time the way we pray and the way we believe God is not necessarily the way God wants to provide you. God wants to provide you his way, not the way you want him to necessarily. She was praying for a check to come in the mail, which never came. But it came through Craigslist, through the donation of this man. She said, if I had to buy this equipment, I did not have the money to pay those thousands of dollars for it. That would do half of the process, she says. But God provided this way through this man, my brother and sister, and she didn't know who it was. Like an angel, he sent him the machine that she could not afford. It was God who did all this way, my brother and sister, not the way she was praying for God to answer her. She said, we need to change the way we even ask for things, because the word says, not my will be done, but thy will. How he chooses to do things is according to his will. How he chooses to answer you is according to his will, not you and I. We don't even realize that our prayer are being done according to our will, not his. We're praying for things to be done the way we want them to be done, not the way he wants it to be done. And she says, that also is pride in our behalf. We don't even know we do it. We pray in our pride for things to be done the way we want it, but not the way he wants to do it. Man, did that really touch me. Did that really touch my life when I heard it? My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. This is a relationship. This is a life that we've been called into. Let's seek his will. Let's seek the things from above, my brother and sister, and not the things from this earth. Because a lot of time, that's how we pray. That's how we seek God. That's how we ask God for things. According to how we want them to be. According to how we want him to answer us. My brother and sister, we ask that this door be open, but that's not the door he wants to open. We ask God that he will send a check. Maybe he doesn't want to send you a check this way. Hallelujah. Let his will be done. Why do we continue to pray according to our will, according to our desire? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Remember Esther? What Esther did what was pleased the king, not what pleased her. She put down her will, her desire, what she liked, what she desired, she put it down. My brother and sister, that the desire of the king will be first in her heart. And that's humility. God show us through Esther humility. When you seek the will of God, you humble yourself. You put him first. You say, how do you want this to be? Show me. How do you want me to request? How do you want to do this? Show me the way. When he came to Gideon, Gideon complained how his nation has been enslaved for so long, how the Midianites will come in and take everything from them. And he says to him, offer me a sacrifice. But Gideon is complaining how much they've been suffering. But God says to Gideon, I have chosen you to deliver them through thy hand. That's not what's in Gideon's mind. In Gideon's mind is for God to raise a mighty army, or maybe send angels to defeat them quickly. And that would have, to him, would have been sufficient. But that's not the way God wanted to do it. It was through him and a few that God wanted to do it. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. You need to read your Bible again. And if you're praying for God to do this way, that way, you're putting your will in your prayer. You're putting your desire in your prayer. And you keep praying the same way, like many of us have made the same mistake. No. Not my will, Jesus said, but thy will be done. Let it be thy way. Let it be how you choose to do it. You do it how you know is best. Not my will. Not how I want it. Not how I desire. But thy will be done. His will is perfect. His will lack nothing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua.
Seems so big, and now they've come, and they're here today. No longer wondering when or wondering how, but now declaring by my spirit and by my power, it shall surely come to pass. The things that I've planned and the things that I've purposed, saith the Lord, they shall surely come to pass. And now is the time, and this is the day, and by my spirit I'm making the way, and by my spirit you'll begin to rejoice, and you'll begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll cause you to go forth into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction, for I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy, for this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply, for times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. shout.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. How much I love that prophecy. Praise you, Lord. Every time I listen to it, hallelujah, I am reminded, praise you, Lord, of the promise of the Lord, the promise of our God who have promised to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, mighty Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Mighty Jesus. Mighty Yeshua. Mighty, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Hallelujah. Yeshua, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome, awesome God we serve, my brother and my sister. Amen. We are so grateful. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Highly appreciate it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. So shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. Amen. I miss you on Sunday, and I hope you did also. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. I pray. I wanted to leave someone that could do it on Sunday. Hallelujah. But everything was so short in such a short notice. Amen. Praise you, God. And so I decided to play an audio. Praise you, Yeshua. And so thank you for being patient and understanding. Praise you, God. But we are back. We are back. We are back. We are back. Amen. Don't know exactly where to begin. Amen. Praise you, God. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord has shown me certain things, and there are certain things I'm going to share. Hallelujah. I just came back from New Jersey. Hallelujah. My sister bought a house up north, New Jersey. And I prayed to the Lord that I could go, and the Lord confirmed that I could. And I told my family, let's go. Praise you, Jesus. And I tell you, praise you, God. Hallelujah. I had an experience which I want to share tonight, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. I want to go into the word, and then I go into the revelation of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He is so awesome. Amen. People have emailed me the word of Sister Barbara. Amen. Amen, Brother Flower. Amen. These been wonderful word, encouraging word, the one Sister Barbara gave 2 days ago. Amen. We have those audio. We'll play them later on. My brother and sister, God will fulfill his promise. Amen. He is faithful. Okay? He is faithful. Praise you, Yeshua. We serve a faithful, faithful God. Amen. And that's what we, hallelujah, need to keep in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 to 24, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And to some of you that are joining us, that shalom, David Torres, Scott, shalom. Amen. Those that are joining the Lord's servant, shalom. Hallelujah. Joseph, shalom. Amen. Shalom to each and one of you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I hope the Lord will speak to us tonight. He has spoken to me, amen, through dreams and vision and revelation. Amen. And so I'm going to share them, but I want to go into the word first. Ephesians 6, 11 to 24 says, put on the whole armor of God. My brother and sister, put on the whole armor of God and do it every day. When you go in prayer, amen, remember the armor. Remember Ephesians 6:10 or 6:11 and on, and put on the armor. It's very important that we put on the armor of the Lord, because the enemy is always planning against us, my brother and sister. Okay? You don't know how he comes against you or how the attack is going to come, but we need to put on the armor.
It's very important that we are aware, that we are prepared. We are aware that these things are being planned behind our back, and that we're prepared spiritually that if the attack comes, my brother insisted, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're ready to battle. We're ready to stand, okay? And God calls us to stand. Very important. Thank you, Jesus. Wait until you hear what I have to share tonight. I hope it will teach you. It will help you to learn, amen, and will help you keep that in mind with the Lord. Why do we need to put on the armor? The Apostle Paul says, why? That you may be able, okay, that you're able. God has made us able to in him. He makes us able to in him. Okay? Praise the Lord. Without him, we are not able. But with him, we are able. My brother and sister, without him, people are dying. But with him, they're able to live. You see how important it is to be able? Thank you, Lord. We are able to stand because the enemy makes people fall. When he tempted Eve and Adam in the garden, he made them fall. The plan of the temptation of Satan, of the devil, of Lucifer, was to make them fall. From hallelujah, being close to God, being walking in a relationship with God. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When Adam was in the garden, God spoke to Adam because in the garden was the presence of God. But you don't hear no more God talking to Adam after Adam and Eve left the garden. That we don't hear of any communication between God and Adam because sin separated us from having that communication with God. And the only way to get back is through repenting, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. And that's what the devil wants to separate men and women from God. If he has you and I sin through temptation, we lose that communication. It doesn't mean that our name is erased in the Lamb Book of Life. It may still be there, but you cannot hear God anymore as you should. Adam could talk to God in the cool of the day, early in the morning with God. David said, "Or early in the morning will I seek thee." Praise your Lord. Early in the morning, God spoke with Adam, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Everything he's throwing against you and I is wild. It is so wild. Everything, my brother and sister, some people say even the kitchen sink, all the utensils, all the knife, all everything, the forks, everything goes with the devil. He is trying to throw everything he can against you. Everything goes. Praise your Lord. But when you take the armor, it hits the armor. It hits the armor. You are protected. It's like having a bulletproof vest, my brother and sister. You get shot in your chest. You have a bulletproof chest, vest, and you're protected. Somewhat. But you're protected. It protects the main organ of you. Bulletproof vest protects the main organ, your heart, your lungs. It protects the main organ. You are protected. You have main organs in you spiritually that if you're hurt there, your heart, hallelujah, spiritually and physically is a main organ because, hallelujah, if you are bitter, let not that be found in you, the Bible says. Bitterness, it's in your heart. But you have to be thinking about it. My brother insisted. And the devil's throwing his wild things against you. Everything that he can. Hallelujah. So he's watching you every day. You should be watching the Lord every day for you to be protected. The devil's looking at you. You look at Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The devil watches 24 hours. You watch the Lord 24 hours. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. That is, you're spiritually aware and connected with him. Aware that the Lord is your God, that he is your Lord, that he is your Savior. He is your protector. He is your deliverer. So you need to be aware. You can be aware even while you're sleeping. You can be aware even while you're sleeping. The wiles of the devil. Sounds like the Wild West. Everything goes. Everything goes but the devil. Whatever he can throw against you, he will throw it against you. It's not his problem whether you have the armor or not. The Bible calls him evil, Satan, fallen one. Okay? He's bad to the bone. He's bad. Okay? And he doesn't care whether you have your armor. If you have your armor, good for you. If you don't, you suffer. My brother and sister, if you got your armor, you're protected. Hallelujah. The Bible uses the word wrestle, not fight. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, because Jesus defeated him at the cross. The fight was at the cross, and Jesus overcame him. Hallelujah. He's, hallelujah, a defeated foe now, but now he can wrestle with you. He's not bound yet. My brother and sister, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against the spirits of wickedness in high places. He says in high places. Hear the experience I have as I arrived in New Jersey. A brother, Joseph from Massachusetts, bought a land in New Jersey and sent a van. When I arrived there and in my experience with the Lord, he went to pick me up. The brother went to pick me up and said, Brother Joseph is waiting for you. Say, I just arrived with my family. Oh, he's on the phone. He wants to talk to you. Hey, brother, hey. What are you doing in New Jersey? You're supposed to be living in Massachusetts. Oh, I bought a land in New Jersey, a house and a land. I need you to come. Not much detail. So, dear brother, I said, okay. So my family, I'll be back. Got in the van and left. Went to the land. My brother Joseph. The Lord kept my spiritual eyes open. I saw him, and I saw demon in his land. And he says, the brother and I, Brother Elby's been rebuking these demons in this land. We try to anoint it with oil, and the demon don't leave, Brother Elby. Will you help us? As he's talking to me in front of me, a few feet away from me, he greeted me. I could see the demon standing in his land. My brother insisted. And the demon was talking with one another. And I can hear them talking. I can hear them talking. And one of the demons said to the other demon, I am not leaving this land. It belongs to me. Bible talks about stronghold. I can hear the conversation. I can see them. And I can hear the conversation. And I said, Brother Joseph, what is it that have done? I know you were doing well, but how were you able to purchase this land, a few acres? And he's planting fruit trees like he wants to be ready for whatever is coming, which is a great idea. It's a great idea. How would you be able to purchase this land? He says, I invested in the stock market. And I said, that's the open door. the Lord revealed to me when I tried years ago to invest in the stock market, and I did. And I began to be successful, but the Lord showed me that there is witchcraft through it, sorcery, and black magic through the stock markets. When you buy these stocks, the demonic stronghold. He even showed me a demon in New York stock market running the stock market inside. That's why all the walls are closed and the closed and the windows are closed and nobody's allowed to go in there because there's a demon running New York City stock market. The Lord showed me this. The Lord took me there in the spirit and showed me this. And now I'm standing over this brother land, my brother and sister, and it's full of demons everywhere. And they're rebuking these demons, and they're battling these demons, and they're tired because the demon will not leave. And I said, there has to be an open door. And when he shared with me that he had invested in the stock market, I said, Brother Joseph, this is the open door. Are you serious, Brother Elvie? I don't see nothing wrong with it. I said, Brother, there's so much witchcraft and sorcery and black magic in that business. You need to begin to repent this right now, Brother Joseph. He said, all right, Brother Elvie. I know you're a man of God. I will receive your word. I will begin to repent. And he began to repent. And as he began to repent, we began to rebuke demons. My spiritual eye was still open. As we began to rebuke them, they began to flee. They began to run from the smaller one. And they began to leave until there was only two arguing that they didn't want to leave. And he kept repenting. I said, Brother, keep repenting. Keep repenting. Keep repenting for investing in the stock market. And we took authority until the whole property was completely clean. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. But only the presence of God was there. Nothing else was left there. Praise you, God. I said, continue to anoint your land. But I explained to him how sorcery and black magic. When I was invited there, I said, I didn't come to New Jersey to do ministry. I came to rest and to spend time with my family. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. That's what I was thinking. I didn't come here to do ministry. I came here to rest and spend a few days with the family before I get back and do ministry. Praise the Lord. But sometimes that's the way it is. Praise you, Lord. But before I left, the Lord also took me out in the spirit in my own house. And there was a demon that came in with some other demon. And I said, how you be able to get into my house? You're not allowed into this place. Leave. And some of the other one ran, but there was one demon who had a seal. It was trying to put the seal on my house. My brother and sister. And I said, you're not going to put that seal on my house. You're not going to put that seal in my house. And the seal looked like a price label in the store when you buy a product and you scan it to know the price. Okay? But I knew in the spirit that the stand for the 666 system, Antichrist system, I knew in the spirit, my brother insisted. And I was rebuking this demon. The one that had put that seal in my house. And while my wife and I were going to New Jersey, her iPhone, who was only 4G LTE, changed to 5G. And my wife got so scared. She said, how did my iPhone turn to 5G? I don't have a 5G phone. Because that's something we're fully aware. And she said, we don't have a... And then I remember the seal that the demon was trying to put in our house. He was trying to get the 5G. Into our life, my brother and sister. For we wrestle not, says Paul. We wrestle not. Hallelujah. Against flesh or blood. This is not against human. Flesh and blood is what human are made of, or animal, or dogs, or cat. My brother and sister. These are spiritual beings who are looking forward to putting a seal on people's right hand or on their forehead. And everything out there being made available for people has to do with the ministry of the Antichrist, my brother and sister. He's all against Christ. He's all against the church. And he's trying to establish himself among God's people. He wants to get everyone, either get them to start with the 5G, the coronavirus vaccine. He's looking for ways to try to get God's people. My brother and sister. Now, I learned that not everyone who gets the coronavirus vaccine, their soul goes to hell. Not everyone. Not everyone. Okay, because I was talking to one of my brothers who got in the coronavirus vaccine. Okay? My brother and sister. Okay? And I was telling him why. And I asked him, why did he take it? When he heard me say last time I was there that the vaccine that was coming was not the evil one, was not a God. God did not want the people to get the vaccine. Then he tells me it was because of his job. And we had a nice conversation about it. But I also told him about this new medication that they're coming out with, my brother and sister. A bunch of brothers and sisters sent me the link of the video, okay, to my email of this new medication that is being made available for people, praise the Lord, that can remove the rDNA that is being placed, my brother and sister, in the, hallelujah, in the coronavirus vaccine. Hallelujah. The change that the coronavirus vaccine makes in people's life, this, hallelujah, this medication, I'm trying to get the link to see if we can, hallelujah, play it, can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine in people's life. And people have been sending me this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For me to play this on the Lord's hour, because this is like breaking news, my brother and sister. The Lord said that they will come with this new medication or vaccine, okay, where they will make it available for people who will repent and they will remove, my brother and sister. They will remove. Thank you, Lord. Let me see. Gotten so many links about it. Praise the Lord. Not even one is coming out now. Huh? Thank you, Lord. That's the way it usually is when the enemy knows, hallelujah, that something can work, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Praise you, Jesus. I'm still looking for the link. Someone sent it to me. Well, a few people sent it to me, not just one. Okay. Praise the Lord. That said that this doctor, I don't know if she's a Christian woman of God, but she says that death can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine. Okay. I believe it is a fruit or a root, either one. That, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. No, they will have to send it to me again. It's not coming up on my email. I left it there so when I would need it, I could come back on the Lord's Hour and play tonight. But you see that this is what they do. The information like this is hard to hold on to, very hard to hold on to, because they fully know that if we keep putting this information out there, it will get a lot of people to. Praise the Lord. Those brothers and sisters that are listening, please send me the information again so I can go ahead and put it on the Lord's Hour, play the audio on the Lord's Hour. Okay? This doctor, professional doctor, is the one giving this information on this, I believe it was a root. It's like you can make a tea out of it, okay, that can remove the effect of the coronavirus vaccine from people's body. Those have been vaccinated. So it's an awesome new. It is really an awesome, awesome new. And I told my brother about this, that he can take this and have that removed from him, from his body, okay? Verse 13, therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, not just some, okay, but the whole armor, okay? And there's a reason why, my brother and sister, amen. Earth are great. Amen. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. There is an evil day. In other words, there's a day when you're going to be attacked. No one plans to be attacked. But the Bible teaches you to be planning to be ready when you get attacked. Believe me, we try to do everything not to be attacked. And somehow we end up being attacked one way or another. It could be an open door. It can be a mistake or a sin that we'll make. And we'll be attacked. The devil will be there watching us because he watches us day and night. Okay? And we'll be attacked. Like God can protect us day and night also. Okay? God can protect us day and night. And the way to stay in obedience. Okay? But everyone sins. The Bible says everyone sins. Okay? We're all going to sin. Even a tiny one that we say, we're all going to sin. Sin is sin. And the devil will be ready there to attack us. My brother and sister, very important that we understand that. Verse 13, stand therefore, having your loin girder about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. And I speak these loud. And you can say, Lord, I take the truth as a protection with my life. Girded about the truth. Having the breastplate. I take the breastplate, Lord, of righteousness. You can say these things aloud. Because some people had asked, how do you say this? How do you take these? You can say them. Learn them well. Speak them. And spiritually, you can feel them coming in your life. My brother and sister. The breastplate of righteousness, Lord, I take it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Your feet with the shout, with preparation of the gospel. I take your gospel of peace. Hallelujah. It's my protection also. Praise you, Jesus. And above all, take the shield of faith. Lord, I take your shield of faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. For protecting against the enemy. You can say them. You can claim them. You can declare them. In Jesus' name, take them, my brother and sister, because you will be protected against the enemy. And do this every day. Do this every day. Take no chances. Whereby you should be able to quench the fiery dark of the wicked. If you take the shield of faith, any darts of the wicked one, you will quench it, my brother and sister. You will stop it. Will not harm you. Will not harm you. You'll be protected with the shield of faith. Take the shield of faith. Lord, I take in Jesus' name the shield of faith. Say, you pronounce it with faith, with authority. I take it, Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name. I put it over my children also. All three of them. One by one. Okay? Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Very important. Amen. Learn them. Read Ephesians 6:11 and on. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Lord, in Jesus' name, I take the helmet of salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I can feel them coming on me now as I'm speaking them. Why? Because I do this. Is every day. You do this every day to be protected from the attack of the enemy. Amen. Learn them. Learn the shield. Remember the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. Amen. And just say it like this. Say it aloud. Okay? Take the helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, I take your word. The sword, say it, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Pray in all ways, with all prayer and supplication. Prayer is you saying, Lord, your word said this, I'm taking this. Supplication is, Lord, please. Lord, you promised this, please. Please, Lord, do this. Okay, and beyond. Supplication is just taking a step forward. Hallelujah. You're going the extra mile for someone, or for yourself, for someone else, a family, a friend, someone. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord does it. The Lord does it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Sometimes when I'm praying for someone and the person is being attacked, the Lord will let me know. If a lot of the time the person is being attacked as I'm praying for the person. And I'm rebuking, hallelujah, and uncovering the person with the blood, hallelujah. Praying for the person and the attack breaks up. My brother and sister, a lot of time is because we, hallelujah, I said this, and I don't mean no offense to no one. Please don't be offended. But sometimes we're too lazy to pray. We got to be honest. Okay? People are lazy to pray, my brother and sister. And I know this because I used to be one of those Christians until the Lord rebuked me for the very harsh, my brother and sister. He rebuked me.
You can keep your strong.
Thank you, Lord. Here's the audio. Let me see if I can inquire this audio, because a lot of these audio are blocks where sometimes it's almost impossible to get them.
Could add the Chrome to continue.
Uh-oh. No. I may not be able to. Okay. All right. But there's the link and the chat room of the audio I just mentioned, my brother and sister. Amen. That's the audio for the medication that this doctor said that will reverse the coronavirus vaccine. Awesome. Thank you, Sister Rivera. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So take the armor daily. Speak them aloud. And if you don't remember the word, you can write them down. You can separate the verse. You can repeat them so much until you remember them. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so praying always in prayer, in supplication, in the spirit. Amen. And this is hard for some, because some people say, what does that mean, in the spirit? It's when you're in the spirit, you're being led by the spirit. That's one way to explain it. You're praying for someone, and he leads you to pray for something about someone. Or when I'm praying in the spirit, he let me see what's going on in the person's life, if it's being attacked. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And since the Lord had helped me in that, giving me the understanding, the knowledge, the revelation, the gifting to help me when I'm praying for someone, he tells me usually what's happening there, spiritually, not physically. Spiritually, how the person is either being attacked or mostly what the need is. And then I can be praying, and then he can be revealing to me what it is, and then I'll be praying for that specifically. Amen. And then the Lord brings a breakthrough there in someone's life. And so what I understand this week was is, why is it that God tells us to always be in prayer and to pray for one another? This week, in the spirit, what the Lord has helped me to understand is, my brother and sister, okay, not that when you pray, you get God involved in that person's life. It's that when you pray for the person, my brother and sister, that's the greater help that person can get. That's the greater help that the person gives when you pray for the person. That's the greater help, okay, that you can give to that person. There's nothing else better that you can do for a person than praying for them. And to a lot of people, it may sound simple, not easy, because if it was easy, everyone will be praying. Everyone will be praying. People think that praying is easy. Or like some people say, they say a simple prayer, God protect this person. But specifically, when you are being led in the spirit, when it's the Lord teaching you, leading you, he reveals to you the need in that person at that moment. And sometimes the person don't even know what the need is. The person is being attacked. That's the other thing the Lord was showing me this week. The devil is so deceiving that can make the person feel like they're the one failing. And it's the devil throwing the thoughts into that person's life, my brother and sister. Yes, can he speak to the person's spirit, mind, spiritual mind, my brother and sister, because the Lord allowed me to see that in the spirit. You know how you wonder, that the devil speak to people's mind? That's the one. I wondered that for years. And this week, the Lord let me allow me to hear him speaking to the person's mind, speaking things like the person is thinking that he is the one failing God, and is the devil telling him to his mind, you're failing God, you're failing God, you're no good, you're this, you're that, and the person is thinking it is their own thought when it's the devil speaking it to them, to their mind. To me, I was like, wow, Satan is so deceiving. These demons are so deceiving. They're so evil. They're so bad. And the person is so down on himself. The person is like thinking he's not good, and the demon is speaking into his mind. And he's thinking that it's his own thoughts, that his own failure. But it's in that moment, if he begins to cry out to the Lord, is what the Lord will let me see or understand. If he cries out to him, at that moment, the Lord will break that out of his life, that work of the devil, because that's the devil working in that person's life. And the Lord will help him right away. Jesus can break it instantly almost when you cry out to him. So why do we hesitate to cry out to him? Why? Pride mostly. And when the devil sees a person is prideful, which pride is pride in all of us one way or another, it can be a little, it can be a lot. But he uses that against you. He can see that you're not crying out to the Lord. And he uses that as an advantage for his attack on your life. When you should be praying, interceding before the Lord, you're thinking, oh, I can do this. I know what I need to do. And you're making your own plan. It's like you're making your own plan of salvation. When the plan of salvation, Father had made it through Jesus already. You're trying to save your own self, which of course it has to do with pride. But if you just cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to overcome this. Jesus, help me to overcome this. At that moment, and he was letting me, that's why I'm here, to help my children. But you're not asking. Then you're like, wow. And that's true. At that very moment when the devil is coming against you, deceiving you alive, attacking you alive, instead of you crying to the Lord, you begin to meditate on what the devil is saying. No. Learn to break that. It's like the devil telling someone to their mind, you're depressed. It's your depression making you think this way or behave this way. That's a lie. The Lord can break that if you ask for help. Notice when you cry out to Jesus, your mind clears. And you say, Lord, please set me free from this. Break this, Lord, from my life. It's like immediately he began to break it. But if you're serious, fast. Don't just like some people do. They never fast, but they always pray. But then they don't see the full results of their praying because they never fast. I learned from the Lord that if you fast, you're serious. You truly want that deliverance when you fast. When you say, Lord, I need you to do this for me. And then you pray and fast. Oh, my God, you're so serious. This is why they did that in the Old Testament. Moses, Abraham, all of them. David fasted. Elijah fasted. Why? Because that's the seriousness of your heart. When you pray and fast, look what Jesus taught his disciple when they could not rebuke that demon. What a prayer and fasting had to do with rebuking the demon. Because prayer and fasting, if you're being serious with God and bringing the presence of God into your life, And that empowers you that when the devil comes against you, it's not you, but it's Christ that liveth in me. My brother and sister, you see? It is Christ in you now. And the devil sees the Lord. Ooh, wait a minute. He leaves. I thought it was her. I thought it was him, but I better get out of here. He sees the Lord in you. And no one can overcome the Lord. He's more than conquered. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. So that's what the Lord wants in us. That's why he wants to be in our life. What he said to the disciple, I will be with you all the days of your life. When you feel him, he's with you. When you don't feel him, he's with you every day. Remember the question I asked the Lord? Lord, because I had to ask a question. Why there's day you don't feel the Lord? And he says, I said, Lord, are you there? When we're, he says, I'm there even when you don't feel me, he says. And it's based on what? On his promise. My brother and sister, based on his promise. Thank you, Lord. He said, I will be with you. So how do I get to know that he's always with me? Believe. It's an act of faith. Simple. You believe, it is so because he says it's so. Heaven and earth will pass from, not my word, he says. He is truthful. And you can take this word all the way to the throne and say, Lord, you said you will be with me every day of my life. And he can show you your whole life and him being there always in your life. Lord, but there were days I never felt you. I didn't feel your presence, Lord. I didn't tell you to walk by feeling. I tell you to walk by faith, my child. He's going to say, you're like, huh? But I wanted to feel you. But it was not about feeling. It was about faith. You see how people confuse the two? Feeling and faith. When you don't feel, you think he's not there when he's there. Thank you, Lord. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. The disciples say, so we walk by faith, not by sight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I saw Jesus in heaven one time confirming his word to those that had died where they didn't see all the promise of God come to pass. And they were in heaven wondering. And Jesus came to them. I saw this in heaven. And he began to explain to them and show them his promise. And he says, my promise are true. My brother and sister. And when he began to show people, they were like, wow. They're blown away. This is incredible. Hallelujah. My word, he says, is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. By faith. By faith. Thank you, Lord. Because if you can talk to the Lord right now and you can ask him, Lord, are you with me? The answer will be yes, my child. Even though you don't feel him. Okay? It's by faith. My brother and sister, and if he would not be with us, we would not be here. You see the other thing? If he would not be with us, we would not be here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. Praise the Lord. The Jesus overcame him on the cross. That's why the Lord is, why are they so concerned with the devil? He already overcame him. All we need to do is to learn to trust the Lord and believe his promise. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, God. See, when I saw a demon, a group of them come entering my house to try to put the fear, I said, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Straight. No fear. Not afraid. You don't belong here. Get out of here or I'm going to rebuke you in the name of the Lord. No fear. Why fear? It's faith. My brother and sister, we fear the Lord. My brother and sister, the enemy we rebuke, we resist, we rebuke in the name of the Lord. No fear. Praise to God. The Lord is with us. And I don't have to turn around, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? No. Just rebuke him. Thank you, Lord. Trust in the Lord. I know he's with me. Hallelujah. Praying always and praying supplication in the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance, watching thereunto with all persevering. How do you persevere? You persevere by always remembering what he said, what he promised, and by doing what you and I are supposed to do. Pray and watch. Pray and fast, or fast and pray, as he said. You do that always. You fast at least one day every week. One day every week. And you pray every day. Every day. And if you can join us in the corporate fasting Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you are welcome, and you'll be blessed, my brother and sister. Okay? That's what that is. You join. You join the body. And before I ask, before I put this offer on the Lord God, I ask the Lord, can I do this? He says, yes, you can. Waiting to hear from him. Because people wonder, why are you talking about fasting on the Lord Tower when fasting is prior between you and God? And I know what the word says about that, but this is a corporate fasting. This is me motivating people to join us to do it because the majority of people are not doing it. You see? That's why what I talk with the Lord about. If people are not doing it, if the Lord had me doing it, I invite other people to join us. Shalom, Brother Benjamin. Okay? Then we can do it together and motivate one another. I suppose it, encourage one another with these words. When he talked about the departure, encourage one another with these words. It's for us to encourage one another. You know how many people are discouraged in this world? Billions. So the bride of Christ is here to encourage people to see God. Okay, let's do it together. Okay, a lot of people don't say let's do it together. No, let's do it together. Okay, the Apostle Paul invited them, praise the Lord, to imitate him as he imitated the Lord. Let's do it together. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm telling you let's do it together. Join me on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let's do it together. Let's fast together. Monday, no liquid, no food. Then Wednesday, we're liquid, and Friday, we're liquid. Simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. To 4 o'clock, to 5, to 6, whatever time you leave, but it's usually to 4. Okay? I'm not going to be a Pharisee and make you carry it longer. Let's do it together to 4, my brother and sister, together. Okay? Praise the Lord. I'm not going to tell you, pray and fast for me as I go on vacation for 3 months. I'm not going to do that because you also deserve a vacation. You also deserve to rest. Praise your Lord. And ministers have done that over the year, and that discourages people. Oh, here's another one taking advantage of people. No, let's do it together. Praise the Lord unto the rapture. Okay? Unto the rapture. Simple. It's so short, the time we're going to be doing this. It's only until the trumpet sound, which is about to sound. Thank you, Lord. Then you hear the prophet of the Lord, Jesus is about to return. This is going to happen any day. So this fast and praying is going to end very soon. Let's do it together. Thank you, Lord. We've only been doing it for, what, 8 years now? Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5:8.